This is the Apple Connect podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our somewhat out of line episode, pushed in between. We're going to talk about our DAPTA predictions today, which is very exciting. I'm super hyped about DAPTA. I love DAPTA. And it's also always very inspiring to watch all the talks, especially the keynote and the State of the Union. So I'm pumped. I hope you are as well, Tim.
I'm very pumped as well. I have the week off, so I will be very much concentrated. I was just thinking about that. You know, 2 years ago was the last in-person one, which we actually attended together in San Jose. And I didn't have any time to play with any of the new APIs. And last year it was so cool because for the first time ever, I get to like watch some videos in the morning and then play with the new stuff in like the afternoon and evening. And also got to attend a lab, which I've never done before. And I think before I didn't even have questions during the week because I didn't get to try things out. But here, this time around, I got to try things out. And, you know, by Wednesday or I think it was on Wednesday, I had a lab and actually had some questions and, you know, I was able to talk to an Apple engineer and get some answers. So super pumped for DubDub. I think this virtual format is really working well. Of course, I miss seeing people in person, but I think this is a good format for us to get a lot of hands-on time. So the way these predictions work, so let's switch gears. And our predictions, we're going to play 7 rounds here. The requirement is that whatever we predict has to be announced or presented in either the keynote or the State of the Union. So we're kind of excluding the sessions, which are sometimes really in-depth and super interesting, but that would just be, that mean we have to watch every single session, which we probably don't get to. So we'll focus on the keynote and the State of the Union. And the way this works is we're going to have 7 rounds, and each round increases in points. If you're in an agile team, you may know these point increases, so we're using the Fibonacci series. The reason why we're doing that is so that the earlier rounds are the least points, meaning we're picking things that are a little bit more unlikely or probably are like a little bit of a stretch. And then in the later rounds, we basically save our picks that we're pretty sure about, but that also means that we may not get to pick what we want because somebody else already picked it in front of us. So the points are 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. So, you know, if you win the last round, the first ones may not even matter. And if you get it right, you get the points. And if you don't get it right, then you don't get anything. We don't have negative points for this part of the predictions. Obviously, we can't pick the exact same thing, but we can build on previous predictions. So that means if I say, hey, I think there's going to be a new iMac, Rebecca could say, hey, I think the new iMac is going to come in 7 colors. That would be a valid pick, even though it includes the previous one. Also, predictions can be challenged. So if Rebecca picks something that is completely outrageous and I don't agree with it, I can challenge it, which means if she gets it wrong, I get her points. But if she gets it right, then I lose these points. So actually, in that case, would get negative points. So be aware of that when you're challenging predictions. And then in the case of a tie, we will have a tiebreaker. And the way this is going to work is we're going to decide on the length of the keynote. And one of us is going to set the over and the under, and the other one chooses if they want to go over or if they want to go under. It's kind of like the Vegas style of betting. So I said the tiebreaker is going to be the length of the keynote, and I actually have my pick prepared. So if it's okay with you, I will choose our point in time. All right. And you can tell me if you think it's going to be over or under. So I looked at last year's keynote, and I know that Apple always wants to keep it under 2 hours. With that being said, I think this virtual format allows, basically what they do is kind of what we do, a little bit of inside baseball here, is they record for a certain amount of time and then they cut stuff. So they're probably going to be under 2 hours. Last year's keynote was 1 hour, 48 minutes, and 52 seconds, according to the YouTube video. So I'm going to set our over and under at 1 hour and 50 minutes. That means, do you think we're going to be shorter than that or longer than that? And keep in mind, this can even be 1 second below or over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're like saying 1 hour and 50 minutes straight, like no milliseconds there. Okay.
Well, 0-0, right? So like if it is 1 hour 49 and 59 seconds, then the under would win. And if it's 1 hour 50 minutes and 1 second, the over would win. So it's up to you if you choose over or under.
All right. That is quite tough because I think Greg sets a new record every year with the most slides per minute. I think he gets faster. So I would say, and I'm following my gut here, I would say it's under 1 hour and 50 minutes. Do you have like a table where you document what we're saying?
If you hear me typing, I'm recording what... I mean, we have an actual recording as well, so we can always go back and listen. But yeah, I'm going to make some notes here. Cool. Yeah, okay, cool. I think so. Let me just give a little bit of my thought here as well. I think it's going to be a really packed keynote, and that's why I don't think it's going to be shorter than last year's. I think it's going to be pretty much around the same time, which is why I picked this point in time, an hour and 50 minutes. As you said, I think they can go pretty fast. But we have gotten a lot of press releases leading up in the last 2 weeks. We got the Apple Music announcement around Lossless, which hasn't shipped yet. It's going to ship in June-ish, something like that. We've gotten a whole bunch of new accessibility things for Apple Watch and iPhone and stuff like that, which could have been great keynote items as well. So with them announcing them kind of like ahead of time, I think there's a whole bunch in the keynote that they're trying to move out so that they can stay under the 2 hours. That's just my gut feeling. So hopefully I win this tiebreaker. If it even comes to it, it's just a tiebreaker. It's not that important. All right. So let's start with our first round of seven. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. I think I have some things for the low points. I'm keen on knowing what you think.
Yeah, I feel like my lower point picks here are more wishful thinking than anything. I'm going to start out with something that there's no rumors about this, there's no knowledge about this, but I hope that we get improved SwiftUI previews. And what that means is that they will announce in probably the State of the Union, show off SwiftUI previews and how they've gotten better. And this can be that they've gotten faster or that they have, I don't know, some new features like you can do automated screenshots, which would be really nice. Please, Apple, do that. Or something else. Like, basically, I'm saying, like, they mentioned that they improved them.
Okay. So my shot to the moon in terms of things I want to have is that Xcode can tell you if a method or property is used within your project or not.
If a method or... So basically, if you have dead code in your code base, right? If something is not used, they like mark it for you and sell you like, hey, like you're not calling this anywhere. Do you want to remove it? All right. I think that's a good pick.
That would be very, very helpful. And... JetBrains IDEs already can do this, so it can't be unsolvable.
Indeed. All right, so for round number two, I'm going to predict that iPadOS is going to have better external display support. So that means, I said not just mirroring, but there's actually some apps that allow you to like show different content on the display than they do on your own. I think like some games do that. But what I really mean with that is like they're saying this is like a standout feature of iPadOS in the keynote and saying like, here's how we improved it. I'm not going to give any details, but I think that it could mean like, you know, maybe multi-window support or like, I think they're going to do something with this new iPad and the reason that it supports Thunderbolt. And I think it may be external display support. So they're mentioning it some way. I don't know how it's going to look like, but that's my pick.
Yeah, that's cool. My 2 point pick would be, and this is also more wishful thinking than anything else, I feel like it's a much needed feature, so I'm going to say it here, and I'm going to predict that they have, since they bring out a new iOS version, all of those things, I think they will also improve Siri, and I will predict that Siri will be able to handle multiple timers, please.
All right. So your pick is, in particular, is that Siri will handle
multiple timers. So you can set multiple timers with Siri or within the timers app whatsoever, which would be kind of the same thing.
And that's not HomePod, obviously, because HomePod supports multiple timers, right? This is specifically for, like, iPhone and for Apple Watch, for example, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good pick. I think it's definitely wishful thinking, but I can see that happening. So I'm not going to challenge that. All right. So for my round three, I'm going to give the background later, but here's my pick. I'm going to pick that macOS Monterey is going to be introduced. So I'm basically saying that the new macOS is going to be called Monterey, which is around 30 minutes up the coast from Big Sur, which would make sense as an improvement update. It's not a big update. It's probably going to be an incremental update. Apple has a trademark on this name, so it is in the realm of possibility. And it would also stick with the coastal thing, right? They had Catalina, then they had Big Sur, and now they're going to Monterey.
Oh, wow. Did you hear like a rumor about this, or did you just hear the rumor that they trademarked the name?
Well, I heard the rumor last year. I think last year it was already rumored that it was going to be called Monterey. And then they did Big Sur because it was a big update, right? So I have no inside knowledge. I don't think there's a lot of rumors around it. There's plenty of lists out there of like what Apple has trademarked. And there's a whole bunch more. You know, Monterey is just one of the ones that like fits the like, you know, sea and coastal theme that they're going with right now, I think. That's why I'm picking it for round three. I'm not very confident in it, but I am confident enough to pick it at round three.
But how about, what is the waterfall called? McWay Falls, the one that's always photographed. So it would be like Sierra and High Sierra. That's interesting. So if I challenge that, do I have to like make a counter prediction? Nope. On that particular thing?
Nope.
So you think it's not a major macOS update?
I think it's going to be pretty minor. Yeah. But it's always the rumor, right? Last year the rumor was also that it's going to be a minor update, and then it wasn't. But
yeah, but I think they won't do twice what they have. Yeah. I mean, we hope they don't do the same.
They're going back. Twice. Everything reverse.
Yeah, reboot. Roll back. Yeah, I think I'm gonna challenge that. I want to make this thing here interesting. And my 3-point prediction will be, I mean, they could also introduce some hardware, couldn't they?
They could.
Because they introduced the Mac Pro on, right? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and remember they also announced 2 years HomePod at DubDub. They've had a lot of hardware. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be bold here. I will say they will introduce M1 or one other, like the one of the Pro, like the Pro MacBook, like the big one. I mean, like the that one that actual pros use with the new. I'm not gonna say it's an M1, but okay. I'm gonna say it's not an Intel CPU.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. And you said specifically MacBook Pro, or if they announce something else, is that?
I will say MacBook, because I will make that very specific. It will be the Pro lineup MacBook with the new CPU, because I think they will, like, they just introduced the iMac, and then they will do an upgrade on the MacBook again, and then they will afterwards say somewhere later this year they will update the iMac Pro or the Mac Pro.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat likely. The rumors previously were that it's going to come in fall, but most recently I've seen that, you know, new MacBook Pro is going to come in summer. And if you bring it in summer, you have to announce it before then, right? June is kind of summer. Kind of, right before.
Almost.
All right.
Depending where you
go by the calendar definition, I think it's June 21st. I think Apple sometimes stretches their definitions because there was one Mac Pro which they announced at the end of the year, and they did like ship it on December 30th or something like that, I believe. Anyways, all right, so going into round four, which is the first one that has like a little bit more points. So we're at 5 points now here, I think. So we talked about how Big Sur was a big update, right? And they, you know, had a lot of new stuff. And I think they had a really neatly designed control center on macOS that almost looks like you can touch it. So I think that they're going to redesign the control center for... It doesn't have to be iOS and iPadOS, but either or, basically. Like, that there will be a new styling of control center. Maybe, like, you know, you have sort of these sub-menus that you can tap into, or nothing specific, but more general, like, there will be a redesigned control center in iOS... / iPadOS 15.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I will predict something very vague, because I think they will introduce something like that, because they did the last 2 years. And I think they will present something in regards to user privacy, because it's a very big thing for Apple. It has always been, but especially in the last couple of years, they made big steps to improve the user's privacy. And I could imagine, like, I'm very uncreative, but I think that could be on iOS in terms of, I mean, they already prevent tracking and stuff like that. So I could think that they do some similar thing for macOS, that they could, like, improve some kind of privacy thing there. That's my prediction. They will improve user privacy on all devices. No. Yeah, I would say this, even though, like, I can't really think of anything straight off my head, but I think that there will be some privacy, user privacy thing in the keynote.
All right, new privacy feature in the keynote announced, something like that. Doesn't have to be a specific platform, just something in general. Yeah, I think it's very likely. I have one on my list, which I'm not going to pick now, which is a little bit more specific. I think in the last year, the Contacts API has come kind of under fire. So I think, I don't know when they introduced this, but they introduced the select photo access, right? You don't have to give apps, like, you know, access to your whole photo library anymore. You can just, you know, select some certain picture. And I think something similar is going to come to Contacts as well, where it's like, you know, instead of just sharing your whole Contacts book, you're just going to select, like, the contact that you actually want to, like, share with the app, or because a lot of, you know, social networks, they misuse this to, like, build these social graphs. Like, LinkedIn is notorious for, like, grabbing your contact book, same for Instagram, Clubhouse, and, like, all these other ones. So I that would have been my pick. I'm not picking it right now, but that's along the same lines of your privacy feature in the keynote. And the reason why I'm not picking it is also because maybe that's not something that's going to announce in the keynote, because I don't even know if the select photo access was mentioned. Maybe there was just like a lab or like a session that they had later on the week. Because it's not really like, I mean, it's a user feature, but it's also like more important for developers to like support that stuff, right?
I mean, I could also imagine that, especially for the select photos, because they're using a lot of AI on all of the OSs, that you can have like this feature where you set the app, like, can only access selected photos, but you just took a picture and then the OS suggests that you add this picture that you just took to the selected photos because you might be wanting to send that. There could
Could do something around that. Yeah.
All right.
All right, round five.
8 points. Choose wisely.
I think, so going along the lines of like what we just said, right, with privacy, but also more like a user annoyance thing, I think they're going to overhaul the way that notifications are delivered. So I think pretty much every keynote they had like some, like, you know, new features around notifications, like you can deliver them quietly, or apps can like have provisionary access, or you can, you know, revoke it or whatever. But specifically, I'm going to pick that there's going to be more fine-grained approach to like when you want notifications. So we have Do Not Disturb, which is like, you know, just, I think it's just can't even select the different dates. Like, you have to have the same schedule for every day. So I think they're going to have, like, more control over, like, which days you can, or, you know, like, basically, like a lot of other productivity apps have it, like, in after hours, or, like, you know, basically fine-grain it per app and say, like, okay, this app can only deliver, like, during work hours, or, you know, I only want to get this at this certain time. And they already have this, like, you know, while you're driving, they're kind of turning on Do Not Disturb for you. But I feel like there's going to be more stuff around that. Like, you can, I don't know, like, the Apple Watch has a theater remote, so maybe, you know, the iPhone's going to get something where you're, like, you know, watching a movie and you can turn on, like, you know, some theater mode, and it'll let the person know when they message you that, like, hey, I can't talk right now, and, like, silences your calls and all that sort of stuff. So I think there's, I'm going to try to boil this down. So there will be new notifications features, like a snooze schedule, or, like, new snooze modes or something.
Maybe also,
like, that
on the new TV, that you get some notifications on tvOS. That would be also quite interesting. Or widgets on tvOS.
I kind of don't want notifications on tvOS, but...
yeah, or widgets. Yeah, that would be also maybe. Quite, like, that you have, like, some kind of dashboard that you can customize with news and things like that.
Are you picking that?
No, just, like, I'm just rambling different things I think about. I just thought about this, and I'm not sure if the rumor is big or not, or if it's out there, but I would imagine that they announced that they will roll out Fitness Plus for more countries.
It's pretty great, let me tell you.
Well, I'm a risk. I'm German. I'm very risk averse, so I will try to.
No, I think that's good. I think it's vague enough too, because, I mean, obviously you're not picking that it's going to be available in Germany, but you're picking that it will be available in more countries. And I feel like, you know, there's Canada, there's UK, which are already in English-speaking countries. So, like, what's, you know, holding them back from just releasing it there? Like, TV Plus is available in so many countries and languages. I feel like, you know, having the fitness instructors, even with subtitles or something like that, should be really easy to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We're getting to all the marbles.
13 points.
So I'm going to pick this one because I have a feeling that otherwise you're going to pick this ahead of me. So I'm going to say that widgets are coming to the iPad home screen. So right now you're only able to put it in the, like, little side view. And I'm going to predict that they will be able to be placed on the home screen, because it really felt like that was something that they just didn't get to last year, but they really wanted to do. And it just makes so much sense with this big screen. So
definitely, definitely. That's a very, very good pick. That is very good. I will make another very vague prediction here. And I'm going to say that they will announce that the... Because last year they announced that you can use, like, that you can Apple Maps for cycling. And I will say that they will introduce this for more country or for more cities. They just introduced it for a couple of cities, like San Francisco and New York, and, like, or some other, like, just three cities, I think. So I will say they will introduce it for more cities, because that would be quite nice, especially if you also have the Apple Watch, because then you get, like, the direction pings on your wrist, which is super handy while walking, and that would be also super handy while riding.
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough that I have gotten to try out these bike routing, and have I used my Apple Watch with it? I'm not sure, but yeah, it's definitely really cool, and I mean, fortunate enough to be in the Bay Area where they have everything mapped out, and... glad I live in a place. We have actually a lot of bike routes around here as well, so that's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's cool. That's nice.
All right, for all the marbles, my very much least exciting pick, and feel free to tell me that this one is not a valid pick. I'm going to say that iOS 15 requires iPhone 7 or later.
Ooh, hoo. I mean, this is a valid pick, right? Because, I mean, if it counts that you just say some feature will be available in more countries, then this is also a valid pick. So I can't argue with this one. And it's an easy pick, I would say, because it's like with something will be available in more countries, because it just makes sense to do this the year after. But it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's still a good pick. and it makes sense. And I think they will also present something with in regards to AI and AR, not really on a technical level, I would say, because they already did present a bunch of things, like in terms of the hardware, that would be nothing new so far. But I would say that they will introduce either one app of their own that is more using AR or VR more.
So I guess there were definitely rumors, right, that last year's DubDub is going to have like a big focus on LiDAR, right? Because the iPad was just introduced with it. Because otherwise you're like introducing something for where there's no hardware. And then the iPhone got introduced with the LiDAR sensor. And I think both of them, they're not really making use of it. I know like iPhone, you can autofocus in dark environments with LiDAR pretty easily. And then the iPad is using it, like you can do some scanning or whatever of rooms. And I think it's really impressive. So I could definitely see them having like sessions around this. I just don't know if this is like going to be like a standout feature. I don't know.
No, I could imagine that they team up with another company in regards to making use of it more heavily, or that they introduce.
So we've definitely had this at the in-person dub-dubs, right? There was always like a playroom with like an AR thing, or like there was AR demos on stage. So are you going into that direction, saying like there will be like a, you know, a demo, like an AR demo during the keynote?
Something?
Yeah, I have to pick AR or VR, because it's not the same thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. I would pick AR.
All right, cool. And this could either be their own app or somebody else's app, as you mentioned.
Even though I hope that it will be one of their own apps.
Yeah.
That kind of can do more things. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool for sure. I don't know. I'm personally not super on the AR train. I gotta be honest, like I've recently come really interested in the glasses, because I'm at this stage where I probably should be wearing glasses when I'm not staring at a screen like all the time, and I simply don't, because I don't like wearing glasses really that much. I like wearing sunglasses. So if there was like something that came out that like would kind of like the Apple Watch, I never liked wearing watches, but the Apple Watch came out and there was like enough usability around it, that I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, right? So maybe if they introduce like glasses that have really cool, you know, augmented reality, like augmented elements that like, you know, you can take a phone call or you can see maps or whatever, like that would be really cool. And I remember, you know, Tim Cook being on Kara Swisher's podcast and being like, yeah, imagine if we had some glasses and we could see some charts while we were talking right now, because, you know, Tim Cook loves his charts for sure. So, yeah, I think that's super exciting. I don't think that's going to be something during this dub-dub, but I think they're going to continuously lay the groundwork with, like, more and more AR stuff. As a developer, I'm not going to make an AR app for iPhone or iPad, because I think it's weird. I like having these, like, objects that you can, like, rotate and like look at and zoom, but I don't like placing them in my real world environment. I mean, it's kind of nice for furniture, but like that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think that is the most valuable use case right now, for the end customer. I think they're like on a B2B level, there are like quite a few apps out there that use it heavily, and that it's super super useful. Yeah, I think like if you see like images of the Google Glass, I mean, that's just ugly. But if you think about if I think of smart glasses, I always want them to look like normal glasses. And I also always have like this Mission Impossible flashbacks, like in the first movies where they use the glass, like some just normal glasses, and then they like, yes, just use it to record people basically. So I feel like those, like if we have smart glasses, they should be like, they should look like just normal glasses. You shouldn't see that you're wearing a smart glass. And I think what would be super cool if you would have like this kind of 3D effect. So if you would look at some charts, it would look like the charts are in front of you, like just as you would look at them on a screen or something like that. But you don't have them like right before your eyes, which would be super weird. So yeah, that would be sure. That would be super cool. But I think we're far away from from this.
Yeah, especially from the glasses. Yeah.
From Apple introducing them, because they usually wait until they can make it great. And I think right now it's in a very, very early stage where Apple wouldn't introduce it. It would be more a Google thing to introduce something like that right now, but not Apple.
Yeah.
But it would be, I think it would be kind of cool. And I think AR is, yeah, it's just weird because it's like too, even for games, it's just not, people want to be comfortable and AR is just not comfortable because you have to hold up the device all the time. And that's just the biggest thing against AR for most customer-based things, I think.
Yeah, I was talking with some coworkers yesterday, how like Pokemon Go, like, you know, came and went, and how that has like a big AR component. I think nobody plays the AR component. Like, it's so odd, right? Like, I mean, it's already a game that you play in the real world, but like, you don't want to have to point your camera somewhere, right? And like, stand there as if you're taking a picture. Like, you just want to, you know, play comfort. Like, as you say, right? You just want to like be comfortable. You don't want to like walk around a table and have to like zoom in, zoom out, and like, you know, try to. They had this Lego demo, right? Where like you can control like Legos on a table, like in augmented reality. But yeah, we'll see. I think Apple's really excited about it, and they're for sure going to show us a demo. And yeah, I'm probably going to go to the bathroom during that time. But yeah.
Yeah, I think like would also be interesting if they introduce more like some advancements in the beacon area in terms of making the shopping experience for users a bit better in real life, not really AR. I'm not sure if it officially counts as AR, but it's some kind of,
yeah. I know what you mean though, right? Because like they've had this ultra wide band in the iPhones for a while now, and now AirTags is like the first one that's actually using it, and it is sort of an AR experience, right? Even though you're not like really looking through, like it's not pinpointing in your couch cushion, like at least it is something that interacts with your reality, right? It is like pointing you towards a direction, and maybe they're gonna have an AR component to that, right? Maybe it wasn't ready and they're gonna announce it at DubDub. But also, I think, you know, as you say, right, beacons, they're like, AirTags is just one use case of it. Like, I am sure that at some stage, maybe not this year, maybe not in the next 5 years, but like, stupid example, you're in the grocery store, you're like trying to find something, and like there is a beacon in that aisle or in that, like, you know, product category, and you can just pull up an app and it like navigates you to it. Because how often do we like, you know, have to ask somebody like, oh, where can I find this, where can I find that, right? Like, that would be a perfect use case for these beacons, and like, you know, navigate to what you're looking for.
Yeah, that would be super helpful for me, definitely. Yeah. Because I'm like lost in grocery stores. Yeah, what I just thought about would also be super cool if you could have some kind, like a similar thing that you have with PayPal right now, where stores can have a QR code.
Oh yeah.
And then you can pay with PayPal. And I just thought, like, how cool would that be if you could have the same thing and pay with Apple Pay? And yeah, for sure. If you have your Apple Card Connect, you can still, like, collect the cashback thing and all of those kind of stuff. So yeah, that would be Square also that, a cool, right? Thing.
They started out with the Square, the company that has like the card reader for iPhone. They also have like an Apple Pay like terminal, right, where you can just tap in it. But it would make so much sense for Apple to make it themselves, right? Like, just have an accessory that as a business owner you can buy. It's probably going to be more expensive, but it's probably also going to work better, right? And, you know, you can, as you said, especially now where, like, you know, places are opening back up, but you don't, maybe don't want to have like in-person waiters, or you don't want to have like cash flow, right? Because it's still a hygiene issue or whatever. You could just like have multiple of these things and you just tap on it and boom, you can pay through the app, and you can, like, you know, do it through Apple Pay or NFC or whatever, right?
Yeah, that would be cool. Or also introducing Apple Card for more banks.
I was going to say, that's like the last one that you didn't pick, right? Like of all the cool things that they announced last year, like Apple Card is still not available outside the US. It's really nice though. I love it.
Yeah, I can imagine. But I mean, I think it's more likely for me moving to California than for German banks to accept and create the Apple Card. But that's just my personal prediction. So either way, at one point, I will have an Apple Card as well. All right, that was a lot of fun. I think we picked some very interesting things, and it's quite funny. The longer you think about what they could introduce, like as you just noticed, like we came up with a bunch of cool ideas and cool improvements that are probably more wishful thinking. But it's still, even though they come up with new things every year, like the sky is still the limit, right? There's so much things that can be better that they can do, and I'm very excited for what's coming next, as always.
Me too. It's funny now because we're now rooting for things in the keynote to happen, right? We're like, want you to drop support for iPhones.
It's like playing bingo. Like we're throwing the keynote.
It is for sure. Like if macOS has a different name like the Monterey, I'm going to be disappointed, right? Like I'll be like, oh, this is already a garbage release. Like this can't be good. Like,
yeah, nice.
Yeah, I just noticed I didn't challenge any of your picks, but I probably could have challenged some of the earlier ones, but I think you picked well, considering that you kind of came up with them off the cuff. So yeah.
For me personally, I don't read much of the articles when it comes to like predicting things or rumors, because it's like watching a trailer too often and then you're not as excited about the movie as you would be if you hadn't watched the trailer so many times. So I'm kind of I'm a bit relaxed about this and say, okay, I don't read anything and I just will be mind blown by what they
I love that with movies too.
And yeah, I think it's a little bit more fun to not know things, right? Because I think every year the rumors get, like, the number of rumors is higher and they're more, the possibility of the chances of them being right is higher than what it was like a few years back. Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good to have those rumors. So I'm just zoning them out a bit right before the events and then.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you after DubDub with the results, and then that will be a regular episode. We don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I'm sure there will be a lot of new stuff, so we'll probably talk about that.
All right. See you in June.
Bye.